If you're born again and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not fatherless. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He is a good, good Father. And you know, when you know Jesus is Lord, you know, you have someone to listen that'll listen to you. You have someone that'll talk to you. You have someone that loves you. He loves you. He is a good, good Father. And if you made that commitment to Jesus, my prayer is that you would just know him to the fullest that you could. And if you haven't made that commitment, I pray that today you will. Because he is a good, good Father. He changed my life. Set me on a great path of knowing him and living life to the fullest extent. And as we celebrate our fathers here on earth and our Heavenly Father today, you know, I want to go back to the book of Colossians. And I titled this sermon today, To Be or Not to Be. You see, because in the kingdom of God, with what Jesus has done, you can accept it and go with it or not. You can be all that he's called you to be or not. It's up to you, because Jesus already made a way for us to have everything in him, and it's up to us to be able to walk in it or not walk in it. It's not his decision anymore. He's not trying to hold things back from us. He's trying to make a way that we could be blessed as his kids, amen? Because he is a good, good father. He is a father that loves you more than your earthly father ever could. He is a good, good father. You know, my dad went to be with the Lord. What year are we in? 9 years ago, he went to be with Jesus. And, you know, my dad loved me a lot. You know, we didn't sit around and communicate a lot, but we did a lot together. And I know my dad was, you know, every football game I played in for the 7 years I played football, my dad was always there. And he always worked two jobs to do what it took to provide for six kids, but he was always at my football games and always there for us, took me fishing. I remember 1969, he took me fishing like 13 weeks in a row. Yeah, that was, you remember those things, huh? You know, because it's just fun. And I got to take my grandsons fishing last week, and what a great time. I caught 5 fish in 1 hour. I said, get on my hook, you know. I took my grandsons out there the first day. I let them fish, and I said, what do we say? And they said, get on my hook, you know. And then Toby's pole started bouncing, and he caught a fish right away. And then Nehemiah hooked one, and then Greg caught one, you know. Great time. And the next day we went fishing. I said, Papa's fishing today. You know, and I caught 5 in an hour. And I'm like, here, you reel this one in, you know. And just had a great time with them, with my boys. And, you know, that's the great thing, you know, about being a grandfather. You know, I was able to just have fun. You know, I believe God wants to have fun with us. God's not about rules and restrictions. You know, like when I took my grandsons, we rented a house in Colorado, in a place called Manitou Springs. And there was a stream that ran through the backyard. And it was flowing pretty good. And there was you went out on the back patio, and then there was a stairway down to the stream. So the boys, you know, were down at the bottom of the stairs, and they're looking. I said, Papa, it looks like there might be some gold in there. Maybe there's some fish in here. I said, maybe you should take your shoes off and see if there's any fish. They're like, we can do that? I said, absolutely. They took their shoes off and jumped in. And little Micah, he's 6. I think he fell in at least 3 times fully dressed, you know. And I had seen him out there one day, and he's just kind of down in the trees. I said, hey, Micah, what are you doing? And he comes walking out, and he's all wet. I said, what happened? I fell in, Papa. I said, well, don't you think you ought to put your shorts on or something so you can get in? And he's like, okay. See, that's how I imagine God. You know, we do things, and we make mistakes, and we walk around like this. Says, wouldn't you rather just take off your shoes and just jump in? You know, he's a good, good father. And he loves us. And he's not up there trying to harm us. He's not up there trying to make your life miserable. Now, we make decisions in our life that make life tough. But that's not on God. That's on us. So today, to be or not to be, you decide who you want to be in Jesus. You decide how far you want to go with the Lord. I just want to go all the way. I want him to tell me, take off your shoes, just jump in, Ron. And that's how I want to be with God. I just want to jump into the things of God. I want just his love, his life in me to the fullest extent that it can be. Amen. So why don't you stand with me today, and we're going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5, chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. It's out of the New Living Translation. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive in Christ, for he forgave all our sins. And he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Let's pray. Your Heavenly Father, as we come into your word, I pray your word would become so alive in us that we would be alive in Christ. That, Lord, that old things will pass away and all things become new today in each one of us. That, Lord, that our minds would be transformed by the hearing of the word. Our faith would grow. And, Lord, we would desire to live a life of thanksgiving unto God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. To be or not to be, that is the question. Do you want to be like someone that people look at and they say, do you want to be someone that people look at and they say, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. Do you want to be the kind of dad that you emulate the Lord and your children say, I want to be like my father. I want to be like my dad because of the way he lives his life. Would you want your children to model you, to model your attitude in life? Do you want your kids to follow after your attitude and your actions in life? Do you want them to follow your character in life? Because that, it matters, because no matter what, they will. Whether you want them to or not. You know, the Bible says, produce after your own kind. And we really do. We produce after our own kind. What we are is what we produce. And they follow after us that way. And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, and the thing about it is, you know, we may not be perfect when we're young and we're having kids, but we start growing in the Lord and our kids start growing, but our kids see all our imperfections. They know what our imperfections are, and so they're like, wow, you know, Dad, are you really a Christian? Or Dad, do you really love the Lord? You know, and I know there's been a few times in my life where my wife says, so, Pastor Ron, I'm like, uh-oh. Do your kids want to be like you? To be or not to be? That's the question. And it's a question that only you can answer. Because only you know where you're going with God. Only you know where you're at with God today. And today I just want to encourage you in the things of God out of this passage that we've read. And I'm going to begin with number one. Once you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, continue to follow him. Continue after him. Don't just make a commitment to God and then be hit and miss with God. Make a commitment to follow after him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Go after the Lord Jesus, amen? The passage tells us, go deeper with God. Let your roots go deep with God so that when a storm comes, you're not moved, but you're going deeper with God. That you're being transformed, that you're changing, that you're preparing more and more to be with Jesus. You know, it's just like when we worship the Lord, man. You know, we read some stuff the other night, Wednesday night, out of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. We just finished chapter 4. By the way, there'll be no service in here Wednesday night because we're all helping with children's church. So Revelation 4, it says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him and who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We need to really learn how to press into worship here on earth, because we're going to be doing a lot of it when we get up there, amen? It's going to be all about worship when we get there. Man, we need to take our crown off today, whoever you think you are, and we just need to throw it at the altar and surrender to God, amen? And press in and worship the King of Glory, because he is the King. And if you're going to spend eternity with him, you're going to worship him for a long time. Amen? So we need to go deeper with him, deeper in our worship, deeper in the Word. We need to be prepared for what he has for us. Amen? We need to be prepared for what's coming. I told Wednesday night, get ready. Things are going to speed up. I just feel in my spirit. Things are already moving quick, but things are going to speed up to the point that you need to be ready for what's coming, because if you're not deep-rooted, you're going to end up with a chip in your hand somewhere thinking that it's a good thing because no one will be able to steal your stuff. You're going to think a cashless society is a good thing. You know, if you're not deeply rooted, you'll end up with a chip in your hand and not going to heaven. You got to get deeply rooted. You got to get prepared for what's coming. When we went to Pike's Peak, we decided we'd drive up to the top. So DeLon and I, my grandson's in our car, and then Greg and Carly and rest of the people in their car. And we're driving up, and as I'm driving along, you know, there's no guardrails. It can be unnerving, you know, because you're driving, there's no guardrails. It's just, I mean, I did a video, it's on Facebook or maybe on YouTube too, I just held my camera there because it's like, it's a little freaky right now, you know. But as I'm driving up and Greg's following me, pretty soon I'm like, hey, DeLonda, Greg's not behind me. And I pulled over and I stopped and I thought, well, wait a minute. You know, maybe something happened to his car. And so I got out and I took pictures and stuff. You know, I'm running around and jumped back in. And I'm like, well, let's just go to the top. So we just went to the top and got out and took pictures and stuff and went to the little store on top of Pike's Peak. Now, you're over 14,000 feet, so the air is really thin, you know. And there's a guy on a motorcycle. He had a Harley. And I'm like, man, how was that ride up here? He said, you know, he said, I trailered my bike from Phoenix. He says, but when I got to Denver, he said, I put a full tank of gas in there, and I drove it around Denver for that full tank of gas. He says, while I was driving around in Denver, he says, the computer chip in my motorcycle adjusted to the elevation. He says, so that when I came up here today, my bike just glided to the top. There was no spitting or sputtering involved. And you see, I think of it as the same way in the kingdom of God. If we do not prepare, if we do not get deep roots, as we're going up that mountain of God, we're going to spit and sputter, and you're going to end up turning around and coming back down because it's too hard. See, we've got to get deep-rooted so that we don't quit, amen? That when they tell you you got to take a chip or you can't buy anything, you got to be able to say, okay, I'm out of here. Maybe, maybe not, huh? I don't know. I'm not taking it. You guys are quiet today. But you got to have a foundation that's built on Jesus. How does faith grow? Hearing the word of God. Read the word of God out loud. Grow your faith. Amen. People say, well, you know, faith comes through trials. Yeah, hey, we have trials, not to grow our faith, but because we live in a fallen world. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, so that when we are confronted with a fallen world, our roots are so deep that we're not shaken and moved by it. We're not all rattled when things are these terrorism things are happening. We know that these things are going to happen. We know we live in a fallen world, but we continue to stand in Christ, not looking for where is God in the midst of this. They're trying to take God out of everything. That's the problem. See, if we would put God in everything, a lot of these problems would go away. You got to get deeply rooted. And listen, when you get deeply rooted in the Lord, you'll get a spirit of rejoicing no matter what. Your heart will rejoice in the Lord no matter what's going on. Because listen, challenges are going to come. You're probably sitting here today thinking about your challenge, thinking, I wish Pastor would call out my challenge right now so we could pray for that thing. I will in a few minutes. But thankfulness follows the depth of the Lord. Our heart grows thankful. We're thankful for Jesus. Amen. And while we're thanking him, number two, don't allow yourself to get deceived. The enemy has come to deceive us. That is his plan. He said in that passage, he said, watch out for human thinking. Because the world wants us to think the way they're thinking right now. See, to be tolerant, the world says we have to think like everybody else. To be tolerant, the world says we have to agree with everything else. But that's not being tolerant. Tolerant says, you sin, but I still love you. That's being tolerant. I don't accept your sin, but I still love you. Amen? See, that's being tolerant. Tolerant is not saying, well, this is who I am, you have to accept me. No, I don't. I gotta love you, but I don't have to accept your junk. You don't have to accept junk, amen? I forget what I was watching, but the guy said, he was an evil man in the movie, and he was a Nazi, SS, and he said to the guy he was talking to, he said, if a rat came in, would you get the rat? He said, absolutely. He said, why? He said, well, because rats carry disease. And he goes, but you don't know if that rat has disease, but you'd still get it. And the guy said, yeah. And then he turned on him and goes, but yet you offered me a glass of milk. Because the guy was a total rat. Where do we compromise? Where do we give in just to be tolerant? To accept. God's not calling us to accept sin. He's calling us to love people. To love people. Don't have to accept the junk, amen? Don't allow yourself to get deceived. Listen, he said in the passage, it said, there are spiritual powers at work that are not of God, but they mask themselves to be like God. See, if you read Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 23, it talks about they prophesied by the spirit of Baal. They were false prophets. They prophesied by a spirit that wasn't of God. See, that's what the world is trying to do. It talks about in the last days, man, that the enemy is going to do miracles. The enemy is going to do signs and wonders. And if you're just following signs and wonders, you open the door to being deceived, amen? I love signs and wonders, man. I believe in miracles. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in the prophetic. But let me tell you, if that's what you're chasing, you're going to be in trouble because you're going to get deceived. You have to be firmly rooted in the kingdom of God and not allow yourself to get deceived. You've got to discern. Because when somebody's doing miracles and you start following after them because they're doing miracles, the enemy is going to do miracles in these last days. Do they preach Jesus Christ? do they preach, repent of your sins and be baptized? Because that's what matters. Repent of your sins and be baptized. If you're not doing that, you're missing the whole thing. It's just a social club. And while you're not allowing yourself to be deceived, number three, let the fullness of Christ be in you. Let the fullness of Christ. I mean, Christ died. As I was worshiping today, and I was just down on my knees down here, I was thinking about when he was in the garden, and he sweat drops of blood. And I was just thinking, that's probably when all my sin got put on him. That's when all of our junk was being put on him, and he's begging God, if there's another way, could you do it? But there was no other way. And Jesus took all of it. And he says, now, because I've taken it all, now you walk in the fullness of what I've done for you. Don't limit God in your life. Take your God out of the box, you know, and begin to stand up for God, amen? Begin to let God be God in your life. Begin to let God shine through your life. You know, he talks about the circumcision of the heart. How did he word it? He said, it's the cutting away of your sinful nature. When you come to Jesus and you give your life to him, he cuts away. Just think about this. He cuts away your sinful nature. And you say, but I still sin. But that's on you. He cut away, when you made a commitment to Jesus, he cut away your sinful nature. He circumcised your heart. He cut it away. So you say, but I still sin. Okay, then stop. Well, I'm not perfect, Pastor. Well, neither am I. But he cut away my sinful nature. Yet I do fall short. But when I fall short, I repent that I've fallen short. But it's got nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with us. You see, that's why we have to renew our mind. Because in our mind, our think is where sin develops. We start thinking about it. And we start thinking about this and that. And then it's like, wow, then you find yourself doing this or that. And you're like, man, I never wanted to do this and that. But it's whatever you put your mind onto. So if my mind is in the Word, if my mind is stuck on Christ, if my mind's being renewed in Christ, Mike, and then I'm growing in the Lord, and I'm meditating on him, then I'm not thinking about sin. Because then you start going, wow, that thought's not of God. Get out of there. Instead of entertaining it. You know, that's what it says. It says, capture those imaginations. Cast them down. Because otherwise we entertain them and then we start doing them. And the Lord really wants us to walk in the fullness of Christ. Let it, I went there because I see it there. Let the fullness of Christ be in you. Let it be in you. It's not something you have to beg for, Sandra. You don't have to, God, please, 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 give me the fullness. Please, please, please. He's already done it. When you make a commitment to Jesus, he takes your heart and he cleanses it. He's done it. It's just to be or not to be. That is the question. I love to have fun in the house of God. Amen. This should be a place we laugh. Amen. Cry, laugh. Give him our emotions. Amen. Cutting away our sinful nature. That should make us happy, man. Hallelujah. And then number four, since we were full, let the fullness of Christ be. Number four, we're buried with Christ. When you get baptized, you go into that water. And it's a spiritual, you're dying. We hold you under a little bit to make sure you're dead. Then we resurrect you in Christ. Amen? We resurrect you in Christ. You're dead and you're resurrected. seated in Christ. It, you die, it's no longer who you who lives, but it's Christ who lives you by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's who comes alive inside of you. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Look at what it says. It says, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, baptized into his death, we died with him. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." We are dead to our old nature and we're alive in Christ. Amen? It's no longer us who lives, but Jesus is living through me. Hallelujah. And then it goes on in verse 5. It says, "For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this," capture this right now, "our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? He who has died is freed. Everybody say freed.
Freed.
Freed from sin. You guys sound so good. Hallelujah. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen. We are dead. We shall live with him. Hallelujah. You're alive in Christ, and he's forgiven all your sins. Everybody say all.
All.
What is the one sin that Christ won't forgive? Blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so if you're here today, you probably haven't done that. So everything else you've ever done is forgiven, unless let me ask you a real serious question. What is your unpardonable sin? See, we know what the Bible says. We know what God's unpardonable sin is. But do you know what your unpardonable sin is? Whatever you can't forgive, there's your limit. Whatever you're holding on to, that's your unpardonable sin. And that's your block in your forgiveness. Whatever you can't forgive is your ceiling on sin. But we all know that in Christ, he forgives us of everything if we repent. And repentance is not just saying, "Oh, I'm sorry." I mean, when I tell my wife I'm sorry for the same thing a few times, she says, "If you keep doing it, you're not really sorry." Don't laugh at me. But repentance is when I turn away from it and I go the other direction. That's repentance. When I stop doing it. That's what God is calling us to, repentance. We're buried with Christ. And then number 5, since we're buried with Christ, your sin is canceled. It's canceled. Now, all I've done today is take every point out of the Word of God. I've not made up anything of this today. This is all Scripture that I'm preaching to you today. Sin is canceled. The enemy is disarmed. He is disarmed. The enemy has no authority over you except that which you give him. See, when I'm walking and my ceiling for forgiveness is whatever, and I have unforgiveness in my heart, then I've opened the door for the enemy to have a part in my life. Because if I can't forgive, I won't what? I won't be forgiven. So I've opened the door for the enemy. Because it says when I don't forgive, then I open the door for me to be tortured. And it's not future, it's now. So our sin is canceled except what we allow. What are you allowing? Where do you allow the enemy to come? What is the, you know, I told you I went fishing. I used them treble hooks. Man, Mike, it was really hard to get them. Donna couldn't watch me. She's like, I can't watch you do this. Oh, that poor fish. I'm like, I'm going to eat him in a little bit. Because that treble hook, trying to pull it out of his mouth. I didn't have any pliers, you know. I got stuck. One went in my finger. The treble hook, the thing just buried in my finger. I'm like, oh, that hurts a little bit, you know, and I didn't have any pliers or anything. So I just yanked it out of my finger. And there was a man standing there watching me, and he's looking at me, and he goes, did that hurt? I said, absolutely. But sometimes the enemy gets a hook in us. And he pulls on us. And it hurts to try and get it out. Because it's in there deep. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, there's been a hook in me I really don't like. There's been stuff going on in my life that I'm not very proud of. If people emulated me, I'd be afraid. Maybe you're here today and you say, I got a hook I need taken out. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. You got a hook. You want to take it. Amen. 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 Nothing hidden today. We're going to just be honest. Almost everybody in first service raised their hand. Because we all got stuff. We all have stuff that we're dealing with. And we need the Lord to pull it out. Because when God does it, it doesn't hurt as bad. When I yanked that hook out of my finger, I'm telling you, it hurt. When my grandson was standing there holding that pole, and he didn't even see me cringe. I just, And all he thinks is Papa's tough. We serve a good, good Father. I'm going to pray for you in a minute about the hook thing. Maybe you're here today, you just say, I need to make a commitment to Jesus. I just need to get in line with him again. Maybe again or for the first time, you just need to submit your life and have your sins canceled. If that's you today, just raise your hand right now. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. 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 Praise God. Why don't we stand? If you raise your hand for any of that, why don't you just come to the front? Or you just, maybe you didn't raise your hand, you're just like, I just need to get down there right now. Just come on. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. Just come to the front. You raise your hand on any of that. Just come on. Be honest. God already knows. Be honest. Praise you, Father. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we give you praise for today. We thank you, Father, that you're a good, good Father. And you know all of us, Lord. You know our shortcomings. You know the sin, Lord. But we read here today in the Word that the enemy has been disarmed and that our sin is canceled. And I pray today that the fullness of who you are would come alive inside of each one of us, that our sins be canceled today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that we'd receive that cancellation today. That, Lord, that you would pull out that hook that the enemies had in us. Lord, that you'd pull out that addiction right now. Lord, you'd pull out that anger right now. You pull out that sickness right now in the name of Jesus. You are our God. You are a good, good Father. And you have made a way for each one of us today to have our sin canceled. So, Father, we just repent for those things. Just tell the Lord what it is right now. Even if you're sitting out there and you know there's been a tug on you, just repent of it right now. Tell the Lord, I give it to you today in the name of Jesus. We give it to you today in the name of Jesus. Yeah, now let your healing come to us, Lord. Let your healing come. You are a good, good Father. And Lord, we thank you today for the fathers that are here. And Lord, and though we are not perfect and we've made mistakes, Father, we want to just say, Lord, help us today as fathers. Help us to be the better men of God, Father. Help us to be someone that people could follow after and emulate, Father. Lord, let your joy be our strength today. I pray, Father God, for healings in relationships the way that you've been doing in my life. For restoring the relationship with my daughter. Father, let restoration come to families today in the name of Jesus. Because you are a good, good Father. Lord, I just pray healing over every person here today, that healing would flow. Physical healing right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that every pain would go right now in Jesus' name. Every pain right now, in every back, in every knee right now in the name of Jesus. In every knee in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Let your healing just flow right now. Let the people of God be healed wholly and completely. Body, soul, and spirit today. And that we walk out of here with a repentant heart and our sin being canceled. We give you praise today, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's leave the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. You know, you guys can pray with a person right there that you're praying with. Rest of you, have a great day. Come on back Tuesday night. VBS starts. We'll be here near Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday on the other side, Friday, and then Saturday for the men's breakfast. Guys, come on out. We'll be out there in the kids' room for the men's breakfast. And we look forward to just connecting with you and knowing you better. God bless you and have a great day.